Hebrews chapter 12, verses 22, verse 22 through 13, verse 4. These are the words of God. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled. But fornicators and adulterers God will judge. So far the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. So to what mountain does verse 22 say we come in worship, Victoria? The mountain, Mount Zion, says you have come to Mount Zion. And whose city is that, Ezekiel? Yep, the city of the living God. His city. So in corporate worship, we come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God. What else is that city called in verse 22, John?
Jerusalem.
Yes, the heavenly Jerusalem. And whom do we find there, Beatrice? The end of verse 22. Yes, an innumerable company of angels. And whom else, Carissa?
The general assembly of the church of the firstborn.
Yes, who are registered in heaven. And who else is there, Ezekiel?
God.
God is there, yes. And what title is he called by in verse 23, Emmett?
The judge of all.
The judge of all. And who else is there, Cassidy, verse 23? Who else are there?
Spirits of the just men.
Yes, spirits of just men, justified men, that have been at that time perfected. So those who have died in Christ and been made perfect in holiness, and their souls immediately departed into glory. We gather with their souls when we come in the Lord's Day worship in heaven. Who is there, according to verse 24, Ezekiel?
God,
yes. Verse 24 specifically says Jesus. And what does it say, what is the title that Jesus is given there in verse 24? Victoria. To Jesus, and then it gives his title there in verse 24.
The mediator.
Mediator.
covenant.
Okay, so Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. Okay, and what else is there, John? We're in verse 24. We just read to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant.
And to the blood of
And to the blood of sprinkling, yes. So Jesus is not only the mediator of the new covenant, but it's the new covenant in his blood. And his blood is what has cleansed us and made us able to come to this worship service in heaven. Whose blood is Jesus' blood speaking better than Beatrice? Abel. So even if we were to have committed murder and have blood crying out against us, if we come by faith in Christ, holding on to him alone for forgiveness, his blood speaks better than Abel's blood and declares our justification and that we have been consecrated to come to that worship service and been set apart, prepared with holiness, declaration of holiness, to come to that worship service. So in the worship service, when we come to this great gathering every Lord's Day, and that's one of the reasons why we won't say the sanctuary about the worship room or the auditorium in the chapel. I prefer worship room because we do more than just listen there, right? Auditorium is a room for listening, quite literally. It is a latruatorium, a worshiping room. We can just say worship room. When we come to the worship room on the Lord's Day, bodily we are in the worship room, but by faith we visit Mount Zion in glory. And there is one who is speaking from heaven. And his speech in heaven is actually preparing us for the new heavens and the new earth. He's using his word to sanctify us and preparing, bringing about all that he has decreed so that the new heavens and the new earth may come. And so it refers in verse 26 to Haggai chapter 2 and the prophecy that God is shaking earth and heaven. Here in Hebrews 12 it says this yet once more says that those things that are going to be shaken are going to be removed, and there's a kingdom coming that will not be shaken. You've heard many times that the Lord is creating or will create a new what? Cassidy? New heavens and new earth. And here, verse 28 calls it a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And so the worship of Jesus is not only something that is offered unto the praise of God, it is accomplishing his plan for bringing us into a kingdom that cannot be shaken. So when you come to God, when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ in the Lord's Day worship services, and you are coming to one who shakes heaven and earth and will make a new one, you are coming to God Almighty, the Creator, God, who is what he is. You're coming to Yahweh, who is a consuming fire, the one who revealed himself in the bush. And when we come to such a God, we must come in a particular way. Have any of you ever been kind of fooling around and playing around in the worship service? And mom or dad or maybe someone else in the church or an older brother or sister, or maybe a younger brother or sister, has thrown you an elbow or poked you or given you a look and pointed at their eyeballs and then pointed up front to get you to pay attention, to settle down, to act respectfully. Has that ever happened? Yeah, I see some heads nodding. I know it's happened to all of you because I've done it to every single one of you. Okay, one of the reasons is we want to offer God worship that is acceptable to Him. And that first word means worship that is reverent in manner, that is reserved, that is modest, that is serious, that takes into account in the way we act, the way we behave, what a glorious and weighty thing is happening in the worship service as we visit heaven and the great God of heaven. And then the other word says with reverence and godly fear, or some translations will say awe, talks about your heart. Now, I've heard that there are among us some children who can look like they are behaving really well in the worship service and not really be offering themselves to the worship from the heart. It's not something that children only can do. Adults get to be very good at it too. And we each must be real with God, because even though there is a proper external manner, man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh upon the heart. That's right. And so we must come with both, honoring God. And as we come, honoring God from the heart, and Jesus is addressing us from heaven, and it says, see that you do not refuse Him. And so we're trying to offer not just respecting hearts, but also soft hearts. He is preparing for us, preparing us to receive, rather, a kingdom which cannot be shaken. That's why we continued into the first four verses of chapter 13. Some of the things that the Lord does in us and teaches us to do. To love the brethren, to exercise hospitality, to exercise hospitality even to those who are from outside the church, to remember prisoners, to remember those who suffer in the body, just as we are in the body, to honor marriage and keep ourselves pure for marriage and help others keep themselves pure for their marriage. All these things are things that the Lord Jesus, as He addresses us from heaven, week by week, these are examples of things that He teaches us and that He produces in us. And so we had this passage for the beginning part of the worship service as it called us to worship God in the right way. It gave us words by which we could call upon Him for His presence and for His help. Let us have grace that we would worship Him in the right way. And as we confessed our sins, those things that still remained that we need to be sanctified in order to receive that kingdom which cannot be shaken. And the Lord Jesus does that work in us. We sang, how sweet and awesome is the place with Christ within the doors. For we went into the worship assembly and then we went up to heaven by faith, where the ancient doors, the mighty gates, according to Psalm 24, the Lord Jesus had ascended. And there we were gathered with the saints and crying out and praising the grace of God to us. So let's ask the Lord to bless to us what we have learned and help us to worship that way each week. Our Father in heaven, we thank You that You have saved us by the blood of Jesus, that You have washed us and cleansed us, consecrated us, set us apart for Your worship. We thank You that You use those worship services to prepare us to receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken. We pray that You would work in us by Your Spirit according to what we have read this evening in our family, and that You would make us to worship You in spirit and in truth with reverence and with awe week by week. Help us to see what a glorious and great thing it is that we come to do when we worship You, and produce the fruit in our lives that at last, after so many Lord's days, as many as You have written in Your book for us, of coming and worshiping in this way, you will have prepared us to receive that kingdom that cannot be shaken in the new heavens and the new earth. Glorify yourself by doing us this good, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.